Thanks so much for joining us online today. We're always encouraged to hear stories of how lives are being changed by the message of grace all around the world from what we do right here in Longwood, Florida. So if you have a story you'd like to share with us, please send it to stories@graceorlando.com. If you'd like to support the mission and the ministry of Grace Church, you can give conveniently online at graceorlando.com. Thanks so much again for joining us today.
Well, good morning. Good morning, good morning. It is certainly heated up outside. Anybody enjoying this spring weather? It feels pretty good. I'm missing the cold already. Some of these days this week, I felt like it was the summertime. Anybody else? It felt like it. Those of y'all on the live stream that are freezing, just come visit us. We'd love to have you. It is plenty warm. Well, good morning, and we're glad that you're here. And hey, before we get into today's message, I just wanted to take a moment just to pray for just our country, really, and just everything that's going on right now. I know many of us have been impacted. Many of us have kids in schools and things like that, and I want to just take a moment and just pray for all of us, okay? Father, we come before you. We know that you love us, and you always have our best interests at heart. But God, we pray for our brothers and sisters and all of those that have been impacted by this tragedy down south. And God, just all that's taking place in our country right now. Lord, would you bring your peace? Would you bring your love? Would you bring your wisdom? Would you bring your strength? God, I pray that we would turn to you. Lord, I pray that we would be a country that once more celebrates you and turns to you and looks to you for wisdom and direction. And God, we love you so much. I pray that you would be with every family member who's been impacted, every person who's been impacted by this horrible loss, all those that have lost their loved ones. God, would you comfort them? Would you go to them and help them as they mourn? God, give them supernatural strength during this hard time. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. All right, I know last week was Valentine's week, okay? So I hope you had a good Valentine's Day. I hope everybody had a little expression of love in their life. But this morning, we're going to actually talk a little bit more about love, okay? And so we're going to discuss what this looks like. So to catch us back up, we're in a series called 1 John, and we are talking about John, this disciple, and his message to his young church. John, he's one of my favorite in the Bible. He is the one who wrote himself into the Word to say that he was the one whom Jesus loved. He caught something. He understood something about God, and that was that the way God looks at us, the way that God loves us, began a long, long time ago, but it was seen best through this person of Jesus, through his expression of love towards us. Now, John, he's writing about this totally new thing that has taken place. He's watched a lot of different things happen over the course of his life, and he's now writing to express about five basic things to the young church to encourage them. Now, can you imagine, as some of the things we've been talking about over the past couple weeks, can you imagine in this time, John getting up and saying things like, hey, believers can't sin, okay? So for us, that's even somewhat controversial even today to make comments like that. Now, of course, I'm not saying that there is no such thing as sin, but that sin has nothing to do with you as a believer. That it's not held to your account. It's not attached to you. It's not a part of you, really. Now, if you missed that, you should go back and listen to the past couple of weeks. We talked about sin in great detail. But this was a stark contrast from what had been taught for years and years and years and years. So this was a new day. This is something completely different than what anybody had ever heard. And John was teaching his young church, this is something incredibly mysterious, something incredibly special, that God wanted to be joined with us, that he wanted to live in us, that he created in us a place to live. He made us a temple of his Spirit. That we would no longer need to go to a church, no longer need to go to a temple to go find God, but that God would be found in us. It's an incredible thing that John is describing to everybody, this union with God. But here's the question, and I'm sure many of them thought back then that if life is not about appeasing this angry God, if life is not trying to make him happy, or it's not about getting our sins taken care of or getting them out of our lives or whatnot, then what is God wanting from us? God, what is your desire from us? Now, today I'm going to give you the answer at the beginning, okay, and then we'll circle back around at the end and hit it again. And here is what he wants from us. He wants children. He wants us to be his beloved children. That's exactly what he wants. He wanted fellowship, which we know in terms of church life, but really it means union. It means to be joined into something. It means that God wanted us in his family. I don't know, these words and these phrases, I feel like get lost on us sometimes because we hear them so often, but have you ever just thought about that the same God that made Saturn and these incredible things up in space, these incredible heavy, big objects, that God also loves us and thinks about us and it was all really for us. It's incredible. I'll never be able to stop being amazed by this thing that God has done. He wants us to be his children. Now let's take a look at this in 1 John together. We're going to continue in chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. Okay, let's talk about this for a moment, and then we're going to finish verse 6. All right, a word on commandments. Whenever we read this word commandments, am I the only one that the first thought is always the Mosaic commandments? Like, you hear that word, and that's just always kind of the first thought is, oh, commandments. So here we read, by this we know him that we keep his commandments. And we think very quickly to these 10 commandments. We think to all the different commandments that God has given us, but that is not the case of what John is talking about here. This word commandment also means, and this is going to be a little strange for us in our culture, but this word commandment means a rule that is based upon something that is done. Okay, so in our minds, we think of everything linear. We think of everything as a start and a finish, as a command, and then there's something that fulfills the command. But in their understanding of some of these words, they had a different understanding, and you're going to see that many things were like a circle to them. Many things were a cyclical nature. So in other words, another way to say this would be that because of the result, the command is given. Okay, so there's sort of a thing of the command is given for the result, and the result then fulfills this commandment. So there's this circle nature of what John is trying to describe and what they would have understood much easier in their culture. So there are commandments to keep, but the important thing to understand is that as it revolves around salvation, we know that he kept these commandments, right? Those commandments are the ones that he kept. But instead, he gives us a different commandment. And we're going to look at that together in just a moment. But we hear this word commandment, and we hear performance. We hear something that we need to go do when John is actually talking about love. And you're going to see this really clearly in just a moment. The command of Christ is to love. If you want to fulfill every single law, Jesus said, if you want to check every single one of those boxes off your list, love. I mean, think about any of those commandments and think about which one of those can't be fulfilled with this word love. Now, it's important as I say this word love this morning that we do differentiate one thing. What I'm not saying is human love, okay? Because the way that we love is very imperfect and it looks very confusing at times. The way that God loves, however, is not like this world. And those of us that are in him have this capacity to love because we are children of him. So there is a supernatural version to this. There's an unconditional love. It's not based on conditions. So when I'm saying that word love, I want to make sure you understand what I'm saying. So he says that if we keep his commandments, the result is, if you keep his commandments, that you will know that you are in God's love. All right, Jesus also talked about, again, the commandments and how he summed all of these things up in him. So let's see this in Scripture. Okay, so John says this. He says in verse, right there at the very top, he says that the love of God has been truly been perfected in you. All right, again, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense in our culture, so I'm going to try to draw this out for us. What they would have understood this as, this phrase, love being perfected, is that love would be complete, okay? This word perfection means complete. So to them, there's an understanding that there is a circle. So from their understanding, I know this is going to be difficult for you guys probably to see over there, you have God at the top, and then you have man. And from their understanding, what John is saying, for love to be perfected, you have that God loved us and that we loved God in return. And love is now this perfected picture, this circle, this cyclical nature of love. So the result of the command is both to experience God's love and then that we would then love in return. Now we see this in Scripture, right? It says that we love because what? He first loved us. So we respond to his love by therefore going and loving. He is the catalyst. He is the start of the circle, and he is the end of the circle. Now, this is going to become fun later as we look at circuitry. Receivers, we are good receivers of his love. So here's the picture I'm trying to paint, is that we both receive God's love, again, the supernatural version of this, and then we get to turn around and go out to not only just him, but the world, and just put on full display a type of love that this world has never, ever seen. And let's see the way that Jesus said this. Here is the circle. Now, picture this circle for just a moment. Picture this being the goal, and Jesus is sitting down by the river. He's sitting down next to his disciples, and I imagine Peter showing them how to fish, and they're all sitting around. And I picture Jesus just looking over at John and some of the others and saying this, John 15:10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Okay, let me give you a picture of this. Do you remember the Garden of Gethsemane? Well, John certainly did. John was there. He was one of the three that Jesus pulled up and said, hey, why don't you come hang out with me during this really, really crucial moment? And you guys know what happened. Everybody fell asleep, okay? So here's Jesus getting really frustrated on three different occasions. He's trying to keep his disciples awake because he is going through what is the hardest moment probably of his entire life. Now, in this moment, he is being tried three times. Three times, Jesus goes to God and he says this. He says, if there's any way to take this cup from me, God, Father, if there is any way, now that I am facing death and I'm seeing it and I'm experiencing it as a human, I'm now seeing that this is very overwhelming. Is there any other way to do this? And three different times, he goes to the Father and asks for the cup to be taken. But three different times, I want you to understand, he abided in the Father's love. Three different times, this supernatural experience happened to Jesus. And this is what the commandment sounded like. This is what the result and the command to the result, this is what this picture looked like in this moment, I believe. I believe it sounded like this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that the world would not be condemned, but saved through him. So this was the moment in the garden. He's going before the Father three different times saying, I am going against the hardest thing that I have ever faced in my entire life. Put yourself in those shoes for a moment. What's the hardest thing that you're facing right now? This is going to have application for you at the end. What is the hardest thing that you're facing and you're going to God right now? Well, this is the picture, and this is the picture that Jesus had. Let's look at this. Let's look at the way the writer of Hebrews said this. The commandment was given to love because he first loved Jesus and Jesus abided in his love. So let's take a look at this in Hebrews 10, 5 through 10. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering you've not desired, but a body you've prepared for me. And whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you've taken no pleasure. And this is Jesus speaking. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God. After saying above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you've not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in, which are offered according to the law, he says, behold, I come to do your will. I'm here to fulfill a different command. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this will, his will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So three different times, Jesus goes to the Father and says, this is overwhelming, but I'm going to abide in your love. What does he say? He says back to him, not my will, but your will be done. I'm not leaving this place of love. I'm not leaving. I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm staying right here where I'm receiving your love. And Jesus, of course, then demonstrates love to the entire world by laying down his life for all of us. All right, this is a special kind of love. This is a love that blesses those who persecute you. Have you ever thought about some of these things? Right, the world teaches the exact opposite. If somebody does something to you, you do it right back, or you at least, you know, whatever to them. Jesus shows us an incredible different love. He lays down his life for a people that hated him. He blessed those who persecuted. He rewarded those who failed. And he causes, this love caused him to lay his life down for us. Now, this same picture we see again later, after the cross. We see Paul go through the same exact thing. Paul goes three times to God. Three times he goes to the Father. He's abiding in his love. Three times he goes to the Father and says, will you take this thorn from my flesh? Will you take this from me? And what does God say back to him? My grace is sufficient for you. Why is it sufficient for you? Because, Paul, when you look weak, I'm seen. When you are in your weakest points, that's when my strength comes forth and you can see it on full display. And three different times, Paul experiences the same exact thing that Jesus did in that he's best seen. God's love is best seen when we are at our weakest point. So give yourself some grace. When our flesh is weak, our spirit is more than willing and reveals where our strength is found. All right, let's talk about this thing called abiding for just a moment. Let's read it first in 1 John 2, 5 through 6. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. And then John continues by saying that you know that you are in this circle, that you are in this union if you abide in him and walked as he walked. All right, this is always a fun question. How did Jesus walk? How did he carry himself? How did he walk? Now, what most of us have been taught, or you'll at least hear somebody say at one point in time, or they'll picture, is that walk in the manner of Jesus walk means to go around and do all the good stuff that Jesus did. And don't forget, Jesus was the one that said, "Why do you call me good?" This is not about good and evil. But we always picture Jesus as the superhero. We picture him as his perfection, and he was, but that wasn't all of the point. Walk in the manner as he walked. What would that have anything to do with Jesus in the garden with the Father? If in this moment, how is Jesus walking? How would we walk in the manner that he walked? Well, here is the manner that he walked. He walked as a child of God. That was the picture. You and I walk as children of him. That is the picture. You know you're abiding in him when you are a child of God. You cannot be a child of God and not abide in him. Jesus walked in the same in this manner. He walked as a child of God. He walked as the Son of God. He walked as the firstborn of many. And there's one other thing that Jesus revealed, which we're going to look at in just a little bit. But he demonstrated this relationship. And let me ask you a question. Did he shy away from the Father? No. Even though he was going with weakness before the Father, he didn't shy away from the Father. Why? Because he recognized that he was a son. He knew who he was. And you and I have this same ability. Let's take a look at this in 1 John 2:28. Now, little children, abide in him. Here's John. He's encouraging his young church. Abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. See yourself the way he sees you. He sees you righteous. That's how he sees you, because you are his son or daughter. You should not shrink away in shame ever from him. Abide in him means to remain. See yourself the way that he sees you. Now, the way religion uses this word abide is what? If you don't abide, what happens? You burn, right? I mean, I'm just making a little bit of a joke, but this is what people say, right? Is that they use what Jesus talked about, the vine, the branches, and fruit, which we're going to get at in just a moment, and they say, well, if you don't abide, then you're out of it. But the point is that that puts the onus back on us, which we'll take a look at here in just a second. Check out 1 John 3:6. No one who abides in him sins, and no one who sins has seen him or knows him. So if you abide in him, you have both seen him and you know him. Religion teaches that the power to abide comes from you, that the ability to do that comes from your will and what you can demonstrate. But abiding isn't about your effort, is it? Abiding is not about what we can do. It's not about staying sinless, but instead, here's what abiding looks like. 1 John 4:15 through 16. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know that we have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. There once more is the circle. So I love this picture in that he says that you abide in him if you say the words that Jesus is the Son of God. Can I tell you that you cannot say those words and mean it unless you are a child of God? See, the thing is that God divinely persuades us. He faiths us. He gives us faith to say these words back to him and say, I am a child of God. We take this for granted all the time because you just think that's something you can just say. You cannot say those words and actually mean it without God doing something in you first. And that is what John is saying. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, the circle has been completed here. This is something that has taken place because you were loved, and now that you love back in return. Look at how Paul says it, Colossians 2:6. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Okay, how did you receive Christ Jesus the Lord? It was confessing him as Lord, the Son of God, who forgave us our sins and gave us life. And remember, in the previous weeks of the series, something absolutely incredible took place when you confessed these words, when you spoke them from your heart because he deposited it in you, and you speak it back to him, and you say the same things that he's saying to you. This circle does something. It transforms you. Look, it is an absolute miracle for any of us to ever agree with God about anything. Okay, that is something only that can happen because you are a child of his. Again, think about the concept of blessing those who persecute you. You go tell someone to do that who doesn't have Jesus, they're going to look at you like you're crazy. Like, why would I want to go bless somebody who's persecuting me? And yet we have the supernatural ability to do that which the world can't. We agreed with God about something. And something mysterious happened, and that is that Christ now lives in us, who is our hope of glory. That means that we have been joined to his perfection, his performance, and his promise. Do you understand what this idea of being joined to him means? The picture of the body, soul, and spirit would be a good example. Can you separate yourself from any three of those? Can you from any parts of yourself? No, in the same exact way, that's what God has done, is he has joined you, knit you together with Christ. This is not something that's temporary. This is a permanent feature. This is something forever. That Christ would be in me and that I would be in him, that the circle would be complete, and therefore we abide in this great love which is himself. And what are these commandments that Jesus gives us? What are these commandments that he says he has for us? 1 John 3:23, John writes it this way: this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. Oh, man. This is a commandment that you and I can both succeed at. This is not one that we will fail, because it is simply quoting, it is simply saying that, Jesus, you are exactly who you said you are, and I will go love everyone else based upon that kind of love. So this picture is a little incomplete. The way that the circle was originally completed is you had this circle between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And they were in perfect unity, and there was perfect love. Love was perfected in this circle, and everything was perfect. But God said, no, there's still something else that's missing. There's still somebody else that I want to bring into this. And so God does, and he says, no, we're going to have the Father, the Son, the Spirit, and then the bride. This is really bad handwriting. God, Son, Spirit, and bride. Guys, if this doesn't blow your mind, that we have been knitted into and joined to, that love has been perfected in us because we are a part of love, this is mind-blowing stuff. I know this is not the way you probably wake up in the morning and you maybe feel this, but we should. This is how you should see your life. It's been joined to him in perfect union, love being perfected. Look at what John says. He continues in verse 24. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. He's saying this circle. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. And what does the Spirit do? We talked about it last week. He tells the whole world about sin. He convicts us that we're righteous, and he convicts the enemy that he's judged. The Spirit doesn't come to convict believers of sin unless Jesus has some sin to deal with too, because we are joined perfectly with him. So he convicts us instead that we are righteous. John's going to continue in chapter 5, verse 3 by saying this: for this is the love of God, that we would keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Listen, if we're talking about the Ten Commandments, if we're talking about any other commandments, that phrase makes no sense, because it was nothing but a burden to us because we couldn't keep it. But no, these commandments we can keep. And John is writing about love, and he's saying that I'm writing this because there are those of you within your midst that are trying to break up the fellowship. They're trying to tell you that you don't have to love each other, that this circle is good, but they leave out the really intricate part about being a bride, about being a body of Christ. And they said, no, you don't have to love everybody in the church. You can love the ones you want to love. They were breaking up the fellowship. So John comes along and he says, no, I'm writing this to you to let you know that if you abide in his love, if this is the picture, if you remain a part of him, love is the outflow of your life. You can't say that you don't have to love or whatever. You are compelled to love. Love is being poured into your heart. It overflows in you, and you can't help it. Believers, you get this. There's been so many moments probably in your life as mine where I've done something loving and I'm like, why did I even just do that? Like, it was the natural flow. You've been there. There's been moments where somebody did something to you and to be fair, it would have looked one way, but then you ended up being generous towards them. And it's like, what? I don't know if you've had those moments. Some of you are shaking your heads. I know you have. And if you have, it's confusing to the flesh. The flesh is like, why are you doing this? Because love has been perfected in me. I cannot help it. Love never fails. And yet this world is always trying to pull us back down into its system. It wants us to continue to try to exist here and to think this way. And meanwhile, the road that is less traveled is love. And isn't it interesting that love never fails? I mean, think about that for a second. Think about all of our world's problems right now. And look, everybody has every answer to all the problems. And everyone's shouting out all of their answers to all of our problems. But the real answer to every single problem is love. Love is the answer. And love is something that we as believers get to put on full display for the entire world, and it doesn't look like their love. It looks like a different type of love. Now, Jesus taught it in a different way, and well, a similar way, but he used a different metaphor that I want to bring into the picture today. He talked about vines and branches when he talked about this concept. And check this out. John 15:16. Look at what Jesus says. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. He chose that so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. All right. I love it when I hear somebody say, I found Jesus. Well, maybe, but he found you. You didn't find him. You didn't even know to look for him. You didn't even know where to start looking. He found you. God, he just said it, chose us. And we're going to look at when, but he chose us and he appointed us to bear fruit. What kind of fruit? Love. He chose us to bear and be the bearers of this fruit of what he is, which is love to the whole world. Now, this concept that Jesus is introducing about vines and branches, which I'm going to get to you right now, wasn't the first time they had heard this. In fact, he's quoting Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 22:21, it says that Israel was a choice vine. God had planted this choice vine to demonstrate to the entire world this love. Right? They were given the law. And what is the law? If you look at the law, it's like I said earlier, it's just if you follow these things and you love the way that God loves. They were to be this way, but they were not the true vine, but they were a choice vine. And look at what happens in John 15:1 when Jesus shows up. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, so it will bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. So we have this picture. The Father is the vine dresser. Now, this is a phrase that many of us probably don't really understand at all, because I don't know how many of us in this room tend vines. Anybody? You're a vine dresser. Okay, some of you maybe have a garden or something, right? We don't totally understand some of these pictures, but the vine dresser is the Father. He wants fruit to be born, right? This is the point. It's beneficial that fruit comes from the vine. And so as the vine dresser, he prepares it. He takes care of it. Jesus is the vine. He is this true vine. He is where life comes from. He's where love comes from. He's where everything comes from. And he says, if anyone does not abide in me, let me ask you something. Is this talking about believers? This point where he says that he's going to gather up the ones that aren't connected to the vine, well, he's clearly saying that's not talking about believers. He says those that are in me versus those who are not in me. Jesus is demonstrating a point. The ones that are gathered up were not a part of, they're not in me at all. There's no life. This is dead stuff. But he does make another phrase. He does say something else that I do think really gets lost in our translation and our understanding. And that is when he says, let's back up here. You're already clean. Sorry, I lost my place. As the branch cannot bear fruit, it says, lost by me. Where have I lost it here? Does this happen to anybody else ever? There it is. All right. No, thank you. Good. You're perfect. Every branch, we found him. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. All right. Let's talk about this for a second, because this phrase takes away, we often think of it in a very negative way, okay? But that phrase takes away, if you actually look at the words, which again, you can Google this stuff and look it up, that word takes away also means to be lifted up. Now, if you were a vine dresser, you would understand that the last thing you would do is, if a vine was not producing fruit, and it was connected to the vine, by the way, that's what Jesus was saying, this is things that are in him, and it's connected to the vine, the last thing you're going to do is break it off and take it away, okay? A vine dresser would instead lift it up and make sure that the sun was hitting it, make sure it was getting what it needed to do so that it then could bear fruit. So what an incredible picture that Jesus is painting for us. That even if you bear fruit, there's more fruit to be born. Even if you're loving now, there's more you can do. Look, there's moments where you've probably been there too. Just, there's somebody that you're having a real hard time loving, okay? Like they're just really, really getting you. And you're loving them, but you know you could do more. You know that there's more in you that you want. And I love this picture of pruning. God comes next to us, and he makes us produce even more fruit. And for those of us that are really struggling, he puts us right face to face with him and says, hi, let me give you some of my love so that therefore you want to turn around and go out and do what happens when I do that. And when it says receiving love, we go and we transmit love in return. God's word does not return void, and the circle is complete. Now Jesus, he says this incredible thing at the end, and I love this picture. He says that I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. Just as the Father and Son relationship existed, just as the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Go and abide in my love. Now let me ask you a question. When did Jesus get loved by the Father? Was it after he raised Lazarus from the dead? Was it after he turned water into wine? Was it after he took sin? No, it was this beautiful moment that existed before anything ever happened. He loved his son. And we saw it appear in Matthew 3, 16 through 17, when he writes this. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice of the heavens said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Oh, let me tell you something. The Father loved the Son long before the Son did anything for the Father in this picture. How many times do we have that picture of God loving us because, well, we did something for him, or, oh, I gave a lot of money, or I went on a mission trip, or I went into... No. God loves you regardless. He loves you. He first loved you. Jesus was loved before he stepped foot on the earth, and so were you. And you and I are invited to join into the vine. If you've not been attached to the vine, you can do that today. You can be transformed and born of the vine, where you can rest in his unconditional love towards you. What was the manner in which Jesus walked? What was the manner in which this love was perfected? He walked as a son, and he calls us to walk in the same manner as him. Can I tell you, I've never been afraid of my dad. There were some moments, but I've never, let's be honest. You sat in the front row on the best week. But I've always known that there's never a day I can't go talk to my dad. There's nothing I can ever do that I couldn't go talk to my dad. I'll never be ashamed. I'll never feel any kind of distance here. My dad produced that in me. Maybe you didn't have that experience growing up. I did. I was very, very blessed. And I know that now more than ever. And this is the picture for all of us. You are a child of God, and therefore there is this amazing thing that gets to take place. And that you get to receive his love, and you get to go love, and you get to walk up to your dad at any time, no matter what you've just done, no matter what just happened to you, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your weakness is, no matter what that picture looks like, because love has been perfected, you can go love in return. You can go before your father with boldness and say, hi, dad, I got something to talk about. I need to be lifted up. We are children of God. We're branches of the vine, and we bear fruit for him that he produces in us. Therefore, our weakness, that inability in our human capacity to love, in our weakness, guys, we have to start looking at these moments as opportunities. There is an opportunity to go love in a way that is beyond your ability. What I'm not saying this morning is that if you see a situation where you need to love better, that you go in the closet and go, all right, come on, man, you got this, or what. No. No, I'm saying that you stay weak. Don't try to be strong. Don't fake it. Man, go before God instead and just say, I need you. I need you to help me see this. Renew your mind. And something happens when we abide in his love. I'm going to use a second grade like science experiment. Hold on. All right, so I gutted a flashlight last night. Like, so that's what this is. Okay, if you ever wondered how a flashlight works, this is it. It's not very complicated, really. I'm not a very big engineering kind of guy, sciencey stuff, but here's how this works to keep it simple. Power goes from this side and goes to this side, okay? There you go. It's real complicated. I'm trying to keep it simple here. A power wants to go from here, and it wants to get to there. And for it to be complete, for the circuit to be perfected, for the circle to be absolutely complete, it's got to get from here to here. It's why you turn the flashlight off, the circuit's broken. It's not complete. It's not working. Now, here's the awesome thing for us. Let's say this morning that this represents the power of God, not your power, not your ability, not your life, not your ability to love. But let's say instead that this is God, and we know that he first loved us. And that love comes to us, and it transforms us, and it changes us, and we see something that's not of this world. I don't know about you, but the first time I saw this kind of love, when it came to me, I realized this is not like anything I had ever seen. It was unconditional. It was saying, despite all of the ways that I've hurt you, in spite all of the ways that I've hated you, in spite all, of the ways that I have done everything wrong, your love is here and your arms are open and there is no distance between us. That's the kind of love that you and I have. And when that comes into your life, something really, really special happens, is that you have to love back. When you see that kind of love, let me just tell you, you're not going to be able to resist it. You're going to love back. And when that happens, the circuit is complete. And in case you're wondering what a flashlight does when that happens, it shines light. It's a little harder to see in here, but there you go. I believe. Here's the picture this morning. The picture this morning is this, is that John describes this perfected love as it's not just about God loving you and you loving God. That's maybe the way the picture looked at one point in time, but the point now that John is trying to make is that part of this completed circuit, part of this completed love, is that you would go and love each other in the same way that you love God. And you can. That's the awesome part. You can. So here's the deal. If you have a hard time with this, if there's people in your life right now that you can think about that have offended you or hurt you, maybe they're believers, maybe they're family members, or people in your life who, when you even think about loving, it hurts. Can I recommend you allow the vine dresser to lift you up? Can I encourage you to allow the vine dresser to lift you up so that you can just receive some more? Look, there are times where you've been there, where you don't know how you're going to do something. I don't know how I'm going to pay this bill. I don't know how I'm going to love a person. I don't know how I'm going to do any of these things. And then you go before God, and what happens? Oh, man, all the fears go away. All that stuff goes away. Why? Because in those moments, we're receiving from him, and we're receiving his spirit life. It's always in us. There's something about turning your attention to it, noticing it, receiving it, and then being a conduit of it. And this is the picture for us this morning. I want to be this conduit of love to the world, and I am. But even more so, Lord, just use me to be a conduit of love to this world. Let me pray for all of us this morning, and then we're going to worship. Lord, we remain in your love because you remained for us. Jesus, we've been knit together with all of your perfection, your perfect performance. Man, the way you sat in that garden and abided in the Father's love for us. We would have quit. We would have run. We would have said, forget it. But you did it for us. You set the example. You demonstrated to us what spirit life looks like. God, would you help us be that conduit to this world that needs you? Would you help us love the way that you do? God, would you help renew our minds to see each other after the spirit and not the flesh? Lord, that in a moment of tragedy, in a moment of pain, God, that our hearts wouldn't turn towards law, but our hearts would turn towards love. God, that our hearts wouldn't turn towards trying to beat somebody up with our opinion, God, but we'd instead care about people. And we'd love people first. God, do that work in our lives because we abide in your perfect love. This is us. The light shines through you every single day. You have the opportunity to go out into the world this week and shine this light. Don't aim it at someone's face. I'm just kidding. Thanks, Jimmy. There's going to be an opportunity for you this week. You're going to have a chance to love the way that God loves. You're going to have a chance to see people the way He sees people. You're going to have a chance to look at the world the way He sees all of us and loves us and cares for us. And boy, when you feel that moment happen, it's okay to take a pause, reflect on His love, and then transmit that. Look, I'll be the first to admit there are some times where I don't feel like this. Somebody cuts me off in traffic, it's instant darkness. No, somewhat true, I'm working on it. You get me. Anyway, the point is that we have this incredible light within us. Let's demonstrate it for the whole world. Let's show them what supernatural love looks like. Let's not fight to be right. Let's fight to love. Let's demonstrate it to the whole world because, boy, they are looking for a way out of the darkness. And when we love this way, they know that's not of this world. Let me get out of this thing called darkness and into the marvelous light. Father, I pray for everybody here this morning. Lord, when that opportunity comes this week, as I know it's going to, oh, Lord, will you help us to love like you? And I know we can because we're connected to the source. Make us aware. And Lord, flow through us and show the world what they're missing. We love you in Jesus' name.